the Jews. And she just needs the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we just come before your throne of grace right now for Teresa, Lord, and we pray that you would just, Lord, let your hand come upon her, Lord. Let your hand touch her heart, Lord, and bring healing. Lord, bring restoration, bring joy and love, Lord, to that heart, Lord, and let it beat fully and come alive, Lord. We pray for, Lord, her emotions, Lord, that you would restore her joy, you would restore her peace. Lord, you are the comfort giver, Holy Spirit. We pray that you would just douse her with your comfort. I ask you to bless her, bless the doctors, give them wisdom as they attend to her. Lord, we just pray for speedy recovery and healing in Jesus' name.
So I don't know if you all know, but I do the prayer chain. Some of you are on it, some of you are not. But if you would like to be added, how it works is if somebody has a prayer request, either they will text me or they will call Mike or Gay. And then if you're on the prayer chain list, I will send out the prayer requests. We don't respond on that line. It's not a line, but it's like, so I'll send it out to you. And so then you'll have the prayer requests. So if you'd like to be added to that, come see me after service and I'll add your number or your email or however you want it to be sent to you. And so you'll be a part of that too.
Amen. In Philippians 2:5-11, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord Jesus, we lift up your name today. Lord, we declare that your name, Lord, is above every other name in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we want to give you preeminence and lordship. We want to give you all of the honor that you are due. And we want to give you room, Lord, in our hearts to work and speak to us today. We want to give you opportunity in this service to touch our lives in a significant way that will bring transformation and change. Lord, we will be even more like you. And we just thank you, Father, for giving your Son. We thank you that you so loved the world that you gave us Jesus, and that you have made him preeminent, Lord, in your kingdom. And we receive right now every blessing that you have for us today in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah. Shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. For there's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. Jesus is our God. We will sing. Lord of the earth, we'll shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
slain and who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And time is in His hands.
Song about the reckless love of God. No wall he won't kick down, lie he won't tear down. How many here today had walls kicked down so that you could find him? Lies torn down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, it looks like summer's officially here. Woo. And, what better time to celebrate a picnic together where there will be a pool, right? Joe and Christine Scroggins are hosting our church picnic, 6 p.m. on Wednesday night, the 18th. And I know you're on 27th. What's the house address? What? 1421. And I'll send out a text with all the information as well. So. Praise the Lord. I heard an amen there. That's awesome. So do not labor for food that perishes. We're going to continue on John 6. Follow that thought from last week. So if you would like to go ahead and read, honey. Or do you have something? It's boiling?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pause. Go ahead.
In the evening time, we sometimes watch shows, like goofy shows, silly shows. And because I like music so much, I've loved music my whole life. We watch this reality show that's called The Four, and it's people that compete against one another, and they start out with four people up in a chair, and then people come out and sing, and then if the judges like them well enough, they'll give them three blue rings, and they'll get to challenge somebody in the chair. And they've gotten into this habit. And because one of the star judges, the guy, I guess, that made the show, has started this eat, or are you hungry? And because if you're hungry enough want a chair, you're going to sing well enough, you're going to pursue it well enough, you're going to fight for it well enough. To get a chair to replace somebody up on the four. And as we were singing these songs, they all remind me of being hungry for the Lord. The Lord said to myself, he said deep in me, you have gotten to where you like room service. You like it to be brought to you. You like the comfort of when I come and give it to you. But I don't know how many of you have ever really been hungry. And I'm not talking about so hungry you'll go through garbage. But I'm talking about the kind of hunger where you don't know where the next meal is going to come from. That's how he wants us to be. He wants us to be that hungry. And if we want it bad enough, if we want him bad enough, we'll fight for it. And the rest of us will encourage one another instead of watching that one that's, oh, look at them, you know, up there at the altar and they're worshiping, but they're like really kind of out of control, crazy. We should be encouraging them. They're going for Jesus. They're hungry for more of him. And we care what we look like. It matters to us, but he doesn't care one bit. I remember a few years ago, it was before Pastor Brenda passed away. And she was struggling and fighting with cancer, and she was down here. And she was on her stomach. And she was beating the floor with her fist, wanting God so badly to touch her. I mean, wailing for it and crying for healing and praying and begging God. And some of us were here and saw that. That's how we should be all the time. And recognizing he won't deny. us. He won't say no. He won't ever tell us no. But we get so wrapped up in who we are and how things should be and look or sound or be the normalcy of Christianity that we've lost our hunger for Him. We've lost that deep, I'll do anything to get you, Jesus, hunger. And I feel in His love chastised because I'm one of them. That I've been that way. I've settled for how church goes and how life is every Sunday and how my life goes during the week. But he doesn't want us to have room service. He wants us to come to the table. He wants us to come and be so hungry that and so famished that we can't get enough. And we'll never be able to get enough. And I don't know if you've ever seen somebody really hungry, but when they start out eating, some people around them that know that they've been starving have to slow them down a little bit because they'll get sick from eating too fast. I've never seen a Christian get too sick from eating of the Lord too fast. It's impossible. It's just impossible. So, my question isn't, I mean, it's about food, I guess. But are you hungry? Really hungry? Wanting so much from Him, and not because of people around you or the lack thereof, but because of who you are to Him and who He is to you. Are you hungry?
That happened to me this week. I was so hungry for the Lord to be right there with my daughter. But I feel because instead of really being hungry the way Gay said, I got on the phone and called a bunch of people. Oh, they'll pray. I know I was looking for prayers for her, and I felt at peace that she was in God's hand. But I failed Him because I didn't get that hungry. I wanted someone to help me. It's not a good feeling.
It may not be a good feeling, Phyllis, but it is in a way because it drives us.
To want more.
To want more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting you brought up about food and hunger, right? Yeah. Do not labor for food that perishes. Let's take a look at what this is. Okay, babe. You want to read or you want me to read? On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which His disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered that boat or the boat with His disciples, but His disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food, for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. So this follows the story of the feeding of the 5,000, then Jesus sending his disciples away, going up and praying, and then coming to them on the waters at night. And we learned about how they thought he was a ghost, and how he was appearing to them, as something that brought them great fear. And Peter said, "If it's you, Lord, bid me to come." And Peter went to him. They got in the boat. He got in the boat. Peter and him got in the boat, and the boat was on the other side. So this is the following day. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. So there's like a scene that these people are just wondering, like, what's going on? You know, where's Jesus? And for the ones that were on the other side, how did Jesus get here? And so there's this tension that's building in the air now. And it says, however, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. So it sounds like other boats were coming to this location where the feeding of the 5,000 took place. And it says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Now it's interesting, and I wanted to get to this point, because I didn't want to just skip over what you were saying. Because seeking Jesus, I mean, that sounds so... I mean, you think about it. They came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. I mean, that sounds really good, doesn't it? They were seeking Jesus. And, you know, sometimes when we come to church on Sundays, what we're doing is seeking Jesus. And we want him to do something for us. You know, we want him to fix us, or we want him to, fix a problem that's in our lives. And we're seeking him for that. And, I think God's big enough to be sought like that. He's not, he's not like, oh, well, you're just coming to me because you have needs. I think he wants to meet our needs, but I think more at that, he wants to have a relationship with us. Deep, intimate relationship. And I think that's what you're talking about. When you're talking about this hunger, I mean, to feed on the Lord is to have relationship with him. To feed on the Lord is not just so that you can know a whole bunch of stuff or do a whole bunch of things. It's so that you can know him, to have intimacy with him. So they were seeking Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? So they were seeking Jesus, but now they found him, but what did they want to know? How'd you get here, Jesus? They didn't want to know, Lord, do you have something for us? Have you prepared something for us? They were wanting something answered. They wanted a question. I know for a long time I went through the Word, and as I read things, that was part of my relationship. I just want these questions answered, Lord. I have all these questions. I just want them answered. I want you to tell me, what is the truth, what's right, what's wrong. And it was like this, so that I could obey him properly. I wanted to know. It seems like good motives. But what I was missing was the intimacy. the desire for intimacy. And I think when, you know, we just want him to serve us, like room service, not much intimacy involved. You know, room service can just leave something outside the door. You can get it when you're ready for it.
I think for me it goes a little deeper than that, though, in that we come and we want him to come and meet us where we're at instead of us coming to where he is. I mean, I believe that he wants to see a hunger in us. I think that the only example I can think of is that, you know, when I make dinner and we, you know, Grandpa's living with us right now and Tim's with us, so there's four of us and we call, you know, dinner's ready, and nobody's coming. It's like, well, are you hungry or not? You know, but with Jesus, he wants to see that hunger in us. He desires that in us, because that desire then shows a desperateness for more of him. And, you know, when I said room service, I just, you know how the guy wheels it in and lifts the cover and here you go. And I mean, you know, that's pretty close to you not having to do a thing. I mean,
other than eat it.
But I think the Lord wants to see a hunger in us. I just get that sense that he wants to see that hunger in us so much that he's willing to get you on the front pew to spank you, you know, or, you know, call other people to pray for a need, that your prayers are good enough. Not that more prayers aren't better, but seek him. And when we seek him, we find him. If we seek him with all our heart, if we seek him with everything that's in us.
So with our whole heart would be like with hunger.
I think so. I think there's a driving force in hunger that we understand as people. I think that the word hunger is a type of seeking. I believe it's a driving force behind, so that it will propel us to him. And I've had times like that in my life, but I want that to be my life. I don't want to say there's been times before. I want it to be who I am, that I'm so hungry that I'm always hungry. Does that make sense? That I'm seeking him so much that I'm always seeking him. And no matter what hits my life, no matter what comes my way, it's like a gnat that I just need to push aside, because I'm so hungry and seeking so deeply for God that I don't want anything to get in my way. And I think he wants that from us. I really do. That's the kind of heart that he's looking for. Will he take what he can get? Yeah, he will. Like, if I sit on the front pew and I don't do anything other than worship him and love him and believe in him, I'll go to heaven, I'll see Jesus, all of that stuff. But I'm missing out on so much by settling. And I think we settle. And I think God's tired of that settling. He wants to be sought after so much that he draws us to him. And it's like,
so how do we seek him?
I think it's so personal. It's different for everyone.
Intimate.
For Brenda, yeah. It was on this floor beating that step right there.
And she was after healing in her body.
But she was after the Lord more. She told me afterwards, I went up there for healing, but God got a hold of me, and I was beating that step because I wanted more of Him, to the point she didn't care about the healing as much as she cared about the getting of God. And I support that. I don't care how silly it looks, or you know, some people are just like, oh man, she, you know, we have to quit caring what people think. We have to quit caring what it looks like. If God tells you to stand on your head and stack BBs, and that's going to prove that you really seek me, by gumbo, learn to stand on your head. And then learn to stack BBs. If that's the seeking that He's wanting from you. What He wants from me is a brokenness, completely brokenness inside myself, that nothing else will make it better but Him. I don't think Teresa will mind me sharing this, but her diagnosis has come from stress induced. She has a mother with Alzheimer's. She has kids with grandkids living in her home. And she works a very, very stressful job. I mean, one of the most stressful jobs any woman can have. Teresa has it. And what's happened is we all have four chambers in our hearts, and those four chambers are working, but the middle part has stopped working. It's stopped completely working in the middle of the four chambers, which makes me think of the cross in a way. But it's quit working. And what they call it is a broken heart syndrome. And I've pondered that all week long. Because that term reminds me of me being broken enough to want the Lord and doing anything He wants me to do to get Him. That broken. And sometimes we just come just for the satisfaction of saying we came. We live our life for the satisfaction of saying, oh, I love the Lord. Whew. Heaven's mine. I get to go. But is that really relationship? Is that really what it's all about? Is this all there is? I don't think so. I think there's a lot more, and I think we're missing it. I think we're missing it so deeply that sometimes we've blinded ourselves to the fact that we're missing it. And I my heart is broken because I want more of Him, and I don't want it to be seasonal. I don't want it to be once in a while. I don't want it to be, oh man, I remember when. I want it to be all the time, so much that I can't remember when. That there isn't, you know what? Because I do remember one time that I was so broken before the Lord and just seeking Him so much. I was flat on my face on my living room floor, and worship music was playing, and our son came over to visit, and he had gone back to our other son's room, and they came out, and when they saw me on the floor, Tim was yelling real loud, and I remember hearing, even though I was still in the midst of all of that, Stephen said, shh, shh, don't interrupt her. Leave her alone. She said, God, just, you know, shh, let's leave. I remember that, but I want that to happen so often, and I want that to be the way that I live so much that I don't have to say, I remember when. Does that make sense? I want it to be every day. I want it to be for every meal. I want it forever, for everything, for all the time. And I just get wrapped up so much in me and what I'm doing and how I'm living that I'm not doing that all the time. And it's not unrealistic that we can. We think, oh, we have jobs. Oh, we have life. We have to cook dinner for our spouses or our kids or, you know, oh, I have to go to work or, oh, I have to, you know, go grocery shopping. But if you're really hungry for the Lord, you're going to be hungry for Him when you're at work, and you're going to be hungry for Him when you're driving to or fro. You're going to be hungry in the grocery store for Him. This place is not where He wants us to be eating from. This place is where it is. Our hearts, deep in our spirits. He wants us to be so hungry that this building is only, we only come together to encourage one another, but it's out there and it's meeting other people and saying, boy, do you know Jesus? I mean, like I know Jesus, like, oh, it's so good, you guys. Like, it's so, so good. And when the 5,000 were fed, they were fed until they were full. But that was just earthly food that only lasted so long. That was the natural part of life. What I'm talking about is all spiritual. It's all Him. And now I know I'm rambling, but I'm trying so hard to get you to understand that I long so deeply for Him. I hunger so deeply for Him. And it started out standing there and Him saying, are you really hungry? Like, are you really hungry? And am I? Really, am I?
I think the desire for the Lord, like you said, is very personal for each and every one of us. How we are, I guess, wired, made, designed, and I know for me, my hunger is sometimes intermittent. You know, I'm a guy, very departmentalized. I'll be doing something, and you know, even though I'm thankful that I'm His, I'm not really necessarily thinking about Him all the time. And I know that the Lord is preeminent in your life, as He is in our lives, all of us here, whether we know it or not. And I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know how to convey that same hunger that you're sensing right now to everyone else. The way that you get people hungry is usually start feeding them something and they get hungry. And I believe that's what you're trying to do here, is you're trying to communicate where your heart is. But let me just go here, because it really goes along well with so much what we're doing. In 26, it says, "And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs." In other words, not because of the miracle of the 5,000, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. In other words, you're here seeking me because you got some food. Earthly food. And I know that's part of our dilemma as Christians, is that for the longest time we have been taught how to do our God stuff, like, from an earthly standpoint. Do you know what I mean? From the standpoint of the things that we do, you know, even like when you say, "I'm hungry." So how do we now define that we feast on the Lord to maintain that hunger? I know this is like a discussion, but I think it's necessary from what you brought up, because, you know, your vulnerability that you're sharing, that your heart is basically breaking because of your desire to be with Him and to know Him, the fullness of who He is. And part of the thing is too, is that he's I mean, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven's right there inside of you. And it's not like you have to go someplace, like you said, we don't have to go to church. We don't even have to, you know, do anything other than, you know, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." Well, where is he found? He's found in our heart. He's found in us. And you know, when he says next, to labor for the food that doesn't perish. And I think that's what you're talking about. Laboring for something, desiring something that's going to be eternal. That time is not going to decay it. And you're not going to lose it, you know, because you set it down somewhere and you misplaced it. It's something that is inside of you. It's become a part of you. Am I helping? I'm trying to think of the scripture. This keeps coming to my... I know we're just digressing here, but bear with us. This is a scripture that a lot of people, you know, make quote this first part, and it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." You know, have you guys ever heard that? It means that if you have a hope in something and you never achieve it, it makes your heart sick. You know, it's like you're hoping and hoping, hoping, it never happens. Let's say you're waiting years for somebody to get saved, a loved one, and you've been praying and praying and praying for them, and after a while you haven't seen them get saved, your heart can get sick. You know, because you're putting the timeline in God's timeline. But it says, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life.
Living.
It's living. And I think that's the verse that comes to mind when you're talking here. I believe that there's a desire in you, probably in all of us, if we would tap into it, that is only going to be fulfilled. Now, this is talking about when you get something, it's a tree of life. But I believe that this is also talking about that food that doesn't perish.
Right.
When desire comes, it's a tree of life. It brings life to us that is like the tree of life. Which in the garden, the tree of life, do you guys know what the tree of life did? It was going to sustain them forever. Mm-hmm. Never die. You're thinking some more.
I just don't want to disappoint the Lord.
And how would you think you would disappoint him? Just like when Phyllis said she failed him. I think it's a lot harder to fail God than we think and disappoint him. He rejoices over us.
Oh, I know.
I think it's us who can feel like we're failing him. And that we are the ones that have that disappointment. But I don't believe God's disappointing you. I think he's for us.
Oh, yeah.
And if he's for us, he's not against us. So I think that our issue is that when you want more of him and you desire more of him, sometimes it feels like you don't have him. But you do have him. You have all of him. I mean, you have the fullness of Christ in you.
I think we have the fullness of Christ in us, but we have the power switch to turn on and off.
That's the key.
I mean, it reminds me of a little boy's toy that, you know, one of those little whatever they're playing with now that has to have batteries put into work. The batteries can be in there. The life of the toy is in there.
Right.
But you have to switch it on. And we have gotten so used to, as Christians, switching on and off, that it's just gotten too easy to leave it in the off position and let us move on our own. I found out this week that a friend of mine that I went to college with passed away of cancer. She was my age. And she's a wonderful woman, loved the Lord with all her heart. Just, you know, her mantra was, you know, finding joy in the journey. And I don't want to get to the end of my journey and the Lord not be pleased with me, or have missed out on something that could have been so wonderful that, you know, oh, Gillian, you dork, you missed it, you know. I don't want to do that. And as I've thought this week about Marlette, and I've thought about Pastor Brenda and all of that, I mean, I know the Lord loves me as I am. He does. But I want to be so much more for him. I want to do so much more for him than just survive until I die. You know what I mean?
Okay. I've been up there debating whether I should come up and talk or not.
Thank you.
Finally, about the switch that got me going.
Because I've pondered this question of relationship with the Lord for, well, a long time. First, I started reading the Word of God to get relationship out of there. And kind of also, you know, to get from the Word the do's and the don'ts. As you read it over and over and over again, you realize it's not about do's and don'ts. Those were old covenant things. We live now under grace, and there's only two things that we follow. Love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Now, as a single person, for a long, 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 long percentage of my life, the question of relationship is kind of weird and murky and stuff, right? And love can get really confusing. But as Paul said, I think sometimes it might be advantageous because you don't have another person in your life that your brain or your heart is connected with and fritzing you out, right? So I pondered this question and went, how do people that are married talk to each other? Maybe they just say normal, mundane things, you know, like, hey, honey, I turned off the coffee pot. Don't worry about it. Hey, the heater's off in the bathroom. The lights are off in the bedroom. Hey, I'm going to the store to go get some milk and eggs. Is there anything else? And so I started thinking, maybe that's how I can form a relationship with the Lord, is by just talking to him about stupid little things like that. And what I discovered was that I also didn't forget quite so many things. Like, I know that I turned off the coffee pot this morning because I informed the Lord about it. And that the heater's off in the bathroom. Why? Because I informed the Lord about that too. And so on your way to the grocery store, you know, you're talking to him and saying, Lord, help me remember, it's eggs and milk, right? And bananas. Those are the three things. They should put them all together in one place in cereal. There should be an aisle, single people, right? That way you just, that's where you go. TV dinners, eggs, you know, that kind of stuff, milk, bananas. But anyway, that has aided me in forming a relationship and getting him in my life outside of these walls. Along with, you know, watching a preacher on TV preach, reading Jesus Calling and reading the Word, there's the other part, the relationship part, the constant, you know, conversation. And so I'm not necessarily like starving to death when I come here on Sunday mornings. I love to hear the sermon and I love to pick up things that I, you know, another person's point of view on something they've read, a revelation, you know, but I'm not necessarily starving to death.
Right.
Right. And of course we're all different in, like you say, in the way that we get pulled towards the Lord. But here's something really encouraging, guys. Somewhere in the Word, Pastor Mike can probably quote it from somewhere. It says that every time our heart turns towards him, he rejoices. He rejoices, right? So every time I remind him that I turned off my coffee pot, he's like, bam, my son looked towards me, even though he told me the same thing like the last 10 years that the coffee pot's off, he remembered me. And he rejoiced. My Father in heaven rejoiced over me for that.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, we tend to think that the only time he's paying attention to us is when we're thanking him for this or that or the other thing, you know, and praying for this or that. But no, he rejoices just because we turn towards him and start talking with him. That's it. He's pleased with us all the time. So if this helps anybody out there in their walk with the Lord, I really pray in Jesus' name that it does, because I think it's really helped me a whole lot. I try to do, men are like, we put things in boxes. So we tend to like have a work box and a relationship box and a, you know, and so we're, that's the way God made us on purpose so that we can operate. And women, he wired differently. We are wired differently. You guys experience everything in one box. One big box. And so my challenge is to just, especially at work, when I'm at work, I tend to really focus on the issue. And so my biggest challenge is speaking to him while I'm doing my job that requires this thing to be 100% figuring out this problem. But I'm working on that one still, figure out how to do that. That's it.
That's good. Thanks, bro.
Yep.
Boy, that's good.
So, do not labor for the food which perishes. And he's speaking to those ones who were there because they ate food and were filled. But for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. I think it's a matter of focus. I really do. You know, those individuals, they were in the crowd. They experienced the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Yet what they saw was the natural result of their bellies being filled and the neighbors and stuff. They didn't realize the power and the glory that was taking place and the majesty of Christ and his splendor. And I think that's where the Bible says to set our mind on things above. It's to change our perspective, because that's what he's trying to tell them. He's trying to say, you're looking at the wrong thing. You're coming here because you got some food. There's something supernatural to me that can give you everlasting life. Mm-hmm. And that he didn't just mean life, you know, that after they died. He had something for them then that they could rejoice over, that they could take as their own. You have any more recap? Well, thank you. Does anyone else have anything to share? Something that maybe, like Jesse, has come up in your heart during this?
Roger does.
Roger does? Yeah, he does. Gay could tell, Roger. Evidently, you've got a way you sit in your seat or something when you're ready to launch.
To say the least, has kept me on the edge of my seat, your testimony. The word deferred means it's only been temporarily put off.
Temporarily put off.
So Why would God defer something in our life that we are so desirous for? We just can't. At times we can't seem to get close enough to Him to grasp and lay hold of it. He defers certain things in our life to create an insatiable hunger and thirst for Him alone. Because nothing else satisfies. And out of our hunger for God, it can create an appetite in other people around us. So to the degree of my appetite for God, that can be an impartation to other people to that same degree. So to say what I love what you said, because we will never, ever, ever be satisfied in our relationship and our pursuit of Jesus Christ, ever. And that's a good thing. Thank God for it. So He's only put these things off temporarily. The tree of life, see, that becomes our desire, is to know Him and to love Him beyond our human capability. It has to be in the realm of the Spirit. And He died on the tree. We become that tree of life. And out of our personal, intimate relationship with Him, that becomes a tree which is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. There is no substitute for intimacy with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's good. And Jesse's telling the Lord that he turned off the coffee is his intimacy. I mean, granted, there's other levels. I'm sure he probably increases his conversation sometimes during the day as he sees somebody with a great need. Father, why don't you touch your daughter there? She's really having a hard time, right? Or, Father, why don't you touch my heart? Because I'm having a bad day. You know, I'm looking at people through my natural eyes and not your eyes. I know He's told me these things. I'm here to tell you, I think it's a lot easier to have a relationship with God than the enemy tells us. The enemy wants us to say, no. You're not qualified. You know, you've got to jump through a couple more hoops. You've got to. He might even tell you this, you've got to humble yourself more. And you're saying, well, the enemy will tell you, in pride. He wants you to humble yourself in pride. Lord, I'm humbling myself. You know. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, He'll do things in us and get us to try to do things that will get us to rely on our own efforts. When all we have to do is turn to Him. He's waiting. I mean, like you said, search for Him with all your heart. Well, I've tried that for years. How much of my own strength can I use to search for Him? And, you know, and at times I would find a pot of gold, kind of like, and I would enjoy that time. But then it seemed something would happen or I'd get distracted. And then I was kind of right back where I started from and going like, okay, what do I have to do next? Well, I want to labor. I'm going to learn how to labor to enter into his rest, because I believe his rest is his love. And I want to find that yoke that is easy and that burden is that's light. And that yoke is love. And I believe that as you continue to let your heart be totally melted into his love. And I believe when we know that that is happening is that when his love is melting us, we see the world differently. We react with the world differently. And it's easy to be his. I haven't arrived. Newsflash, I haven't arrived. I mean, I have, you know, Jesse was just talking about the department. I figured out like 45 days straight working on a project, you know. Now, I've been listening to stuff, but it's really not like the same thing. I was like in a zone. I was in a department. I had to get this project done, you know. And in some ways, you know, I could have said, well, I'm not close to the Lord because I'm not doing things that I normally did to maintain that. But I did not receive that lie. I said, no, Father, you're in me and I'm in you. You're just helping me do this project. And when something would go well, I say, praise the Lord. And when something would go bad, I say, well, Jesus, you know the answer to this. And it was that simple. But I tell you, 5 years ago, me going 45 days, I would have felt like I'm out of God. Okay, I'm out of God. I haven't had a chance to do all this stuff. I haven't had a chance. And I would have like started chasing my own tail, thinking that something was wrong with me. But this time, I knew the truth. And the truth is that he always is with me. He never leaves me or forsakes me. He has taken habitation inside of me. So he is in me. And then the radical part is I'm also in him. I'm never separated from the love of God. And so no matter what my duties were, at the end of the day, I said, Lord, thank you. And I would do what I could to build my heart in him and think about him, listen to worship music. But it wasn't quite the same. I'm used to sitting down a couple hours and reading, you know, the word just straight in the morning. And I mean, I was off, you know. And I would still read, but you know what I'm saying? It was different. And before, that would have bummed me out. But it didn't bum me out. And I'm not saying I've arrived by any means, because I want more of him. Because I know that all of the kingdom of God is inside of me. His righteousness, peace, and joy is right inside of me. And it's inside of you. And I mean, I look at our relationship as the closest thing that I have to Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And I could tell just from us being together now almost 25 years, we're going into our 25th year, we went over that 24-year hump, come on. And I can say when you're talking there, I, as your husband, would never feel that way towards you, and I'm earthly. I mean, I just like it that I know that your heart's for me. Yeah. And me being evil, feeling that way, how much more the Lord?
Yeah.
That made me like this in my inadequacies. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, I know there's times that our relationship gets closer. Is this helping anybody or are we just like rambling? I know there's times that our relationship gets closer. And there's times that maybe you have a greater desire to, you know, have closeness with me, and I may have a greater desire. It may be just as simple as wanting a hug. We do that a lot. Like, do you need a hug? And it's like, you know, our little therapy with each other. Sometimes we have a really bad day and you get a hug, and, you know, the Lord will do that with you. I'm sure Jesse's had many hugs from the Lord when he's needed them. Being single, right?
Yeah, it's different.
It's different. Someone's got something.
He was
So I was thinking about, you know that book, Five Love Languages? I kept thinking about how God shows our love, and I'm like, well, God is all of these things, so he gives us, he gives all these gifts. So his love languages are gifts, his love languages are touch, his love languages are affirmation, his love languages are acts of service, and his love languages are quality time. So if he is all of those things, we have a whole list of things that we can get from him. We can get gifts from him. But when we get gifts from him, we can also give gifts through him. So when we're showing God's love, these are the things that we can do. So anytime that we do these things, it's like we're being loved and we're giving his love. And I just think that's just super cool. So like, you know, if Gaylene's gift is touch and I come and touch her because God loves her and I love her, it's an extension of him and me loving her. If somebody's gifts are affirmation and I go to them knowing that I'm giving them an affirmation because God gave it to me for them, I am extending his love to them through me and even in myself. And it's like, so if I want to do something for God, I can do it through people or can... Or even right then, you know, so if quality time is the thing that I need the most, then that's the way that I could express my love for him, is spending that quality time with him. So if that's the thing that you're missing the most, that's the thing you probably need to give the most. So if you are the type that really needs gifts, maybe you need to give more gifts to, you know, like, you know who you are. And so, sorry, that's it.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That makes total sense.
Sowing what you need. That's good.
Love it.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our ability to be vulnerable here and our ability, Lord, to be who we are and to share who we are with each other. And Lord, I pray that it would help all of us grow here today. Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would help all of us to have a greater hunger for you, however that works out in each and every one of our lives. A greater level of intimacy, of knowing you and of communicating, Lord, in the way that you've caused us to have your love language given to us and our love language given back. Lord, we just submit our hearts to you right now. Lord, we know that is the issue here, is our hearts. And we just pray that you would just bring healing to any wounded hearts. Healing to any damaged hearts, Lord. Healing to any areas of our life, Lord, that have had pain and anguish and torment and abuse. Lord, we pray you just bring healing to our hearts. Lord, teach us to guard our hearts with all diligence, because we know that the very, very issues of life flow out of them. And Lord, most of all, help us to not labor for the food, the sustenance that will perish, but for the food and the sustenance, Lord, that leads to eternal life,
yes,
that leads
God.
To you. Lord, your word says, man does not live by bread alone, by natural sustenance, but by every word, every rhema, every life-given, spoken communication from you. Help us learn, Lord, to feast, Lord, on your word. Not just your Bible, Lord, but the word, God, that's coming from you to our hearts. The word that you desire for us to live with obedience to. We know that you're going to take care of all the stuff that we need. You're going to make sure that We have a roof over our heads, and we have food, and we have clothing, and we have all the things that we need, Lord, because it says if we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, Lord, that every other thing will be added to us. So, Lord, help us to look to you and to seek you and your kingdom first and your righteousness. We just thank you, Jesus, that you are the one that's working in our lives. You've started this work, and you'll be the one that's faithful to complete it. And Lord, I know you put desires in us, Lord, for more. And I pray that those desires that have rose up today, Lord, would be fulfilled. That they would be a tree of life.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
A tree of life to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I just got a message that Teresa is still fighting nausea and vomiting, and as well as the heart condition. So she's not receiving visitors, but please still be in prayer for her. She needs it, and she's thankful for it. So continue to pray for her.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, praise God. Wednesday, 1421 South 27th Avenue, 6 p.m., we'll be having barbecued pork, and then, of course, what you guys bring, because it's a potluck. And then we will be having a baptism probably at least an hour after eating, because you have to wait an hour before you swim, right?
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. Okay. You think we should do the baptism first? Well, we want to make sure people get there, though. We'll see. I didn't think about that. Bless you. Love you.
Hi.
I said love you.
Oh.